Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There we go. I don't know how it's possible, but we are going to try and top yesterday's show, which may have been Mount Rushmore worthy. And it was a surprise to all of us. We did not know the show was going to go there. Yesterday, if you missed it, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the podcast. And it wasn't until about, you know, like 2:15, 2:20 yesterday that you shared something with me and Falero, and then we shared it with the listeners.
As friends.
It's gone viral since. It's gone viral. If you weren't listening to yesterday's show, we shared via Instagram and Twitter and I think on the 560 Facebook page this video of Crowder trying to jump from a pier to a little landmass that was at his sister's house in South Carolina. Thinking that he would show his nieces and nephews, hey, this is how a man does it. This is how an athlete does it.
Old Uncle Channing still got it.
Old Uncle Channing, they've heard all the football stories, and they know the lore. And then he proceeded to, take a running start to nowhere. It was just, it's like, remember the old steam engines where, it would look like those wheels were moving, but nothing, the train wasn't moving. That was the start of his run down the pier. At the moment that he jumped, there was nothing, and he landed right in the water. He hurt his knee. It's swollen. He was an embarrassment to his family, and we have laughed at the video. And then, as luck would have it, Mike Cugno from CBS4 was listening to the show, and then he saw the video on Twitter, and he said, as a goof, you know, we'll profile this on the CBS4 news. And then he had some time during the 6 o'clock news last night on CBS4. They showed somebody that had heard something, and then he said, you think that's bad? Channing Crowder says, hold my beer, because, and then they show the video of you. Here's the audio from CBS4 last night.
Now, if you thought that hurt, here's former Dolphins linebacker Channing Crowder saying, hold my drink. He's trying to jump from dock to shore, and he's got the lift off of an old tugboat. In slow motion, you can see the moment he makes the official transition from pro athlete to professional radio host. Come on, Channing. Oh.
From the guy what who was he thinking?
He once picked off Tom Brady to this. Not a good look, my
he's
man.
He's got to work on it.
Yeah, he definitely
He is a pretty good radio host. I enjoy his show.
He's very funny. I will say that.
Who is it? I think it's Elliot Rodriguez.
Yes,
and Rutabay Shabazi, who obviously has no use for you whatsoever.
What is Rutabay doing?
Elliot was like, you know, as most people watch that video, it's like, oh, well, he's a good guy. You try to find something to, you know, puff the guy up a little bit. That's, you know, even Cugno was like, hey, he intercepted Tom Brady, you
throw
know.
Me a bone.
Rutabay Shabazi was just like,
she's stepping on my head. I'm reaching out the water. She's kicking me back into
the
water.
She's like, what's he thinking?
Come on, Rutabay. We've done charity events together.
So I have a question for everybody. Should Crowder forever be referred to as the old tugboat?
I don't like that.
Which is Mike Cugno's name. Or the one that I came up with yesterday, which is Sully. Because he landed in the water.
I like it. I have a nickname already, the light-skinned wonder.
No, and actually someone texted in yesterday, the light-skinned under.
Light-skinned wonder.
As in underwater. it really, listen, you've jumped the shark, but you really, it was almost like literal.
I landed on top of the shark if I was jumping it.
Someone texted in 560-22, Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Should Crowder forevermore, I don't care if you see him at Delaware Chicken Farm, if you see him at Funky Buddha Brewery, wherever you see him at Hard Rock Stadium. Should people walk up to him and say, hey, good to see a big fan of you, the old tugboat?
I don't like it.
Or, hey, what's happening, Sully? Because you landed in the water. And much like Sully, he didn't intend to land in the water. It's so analogous.
So the light-skinned wonder's out of there?
Yeah, unfortunately, you are now either the old tugboat, which I love for a million reasons. You have our boat sound? That's what I... Here's the sound. We actually have further sound. This is Channing Crowder jumping off that pier.
It's a damn tugboat.
So is he the old tugboat or Sully? Text it in, 560-22. Someone should remake your little scene there. And when you're like right in the air, just have, you know, Tom Hanks birds. And then you just plummet.
Somebody made one with, what was it? Ricky!
Oh, my God.
You saw that
one? Was from Boys in the Hood. And, you know, where he gets shot. And it's Cuba Gooding Jr., right? That's yelling,
yes.
Ricky! But it's Crowder just going into the water.
I'll tell you one thing. I rekindled some old relationships.
People love
off of that. But I had old buddies texting me and calling me, DMing me like, Crowder, man, you still crazy as hell. Guys I played with 10 years ago just because of the video.
It was funny. I was seeing that video. I was looking at what you had posted on Twitter and reading responses from, like you said, Greg Camarillo and Ronnie Brown and everybody. I saw Brett Romberg. Like, everybody was just tickled by, I don't know what to call it. It's...
You know what? Brett Romberg.
Going out for a run?
It's like a lack of...
It's not a jump.
See,
it's not a jump.
Why are you going negative? You went negative.
Because there's a couple things there. There's a lack of speed. I'm sorry.
I needed a couple more steps.
The landmass was a tight end, and you couldn't get there. There was a lack of speed. There was a lack of awareness.
Like,
this is what happens when you get older. I'm speaking from experience. There was a lack of awareness. Listen to the newscast. This is CBS4. This is a legitimate newscast. Listen, Ruta Bey Shabazi, she is a news broadcaster. She can't figure it out. What was he thinking?
And she's a hater.
She definitely does not like you. Here's how it sounded.
Now, if you thought that hurt, here's former Dolphins linebacker Channing Crowder saying, hold my drink. He's trying to jump from dock to shore. Shore, and he's got the lift off of an old tugboat. In slow motion, you can see the moment he makes the official transition from pro athlete to professional radio host. Come on, Channing.
Oh, from the guy who was thinking.
He once picked off Tom Brady to this. Not a good look, my man.
He's got
to
work on it.
Yeah, he definitely does.
He is a pretty good radio host. I enjoy the show.
Thanks, Elliot.
I will say that.
Thanks, Elliot.
I mean, listen. Elliot Rodriguez also said, I listened to his show. Hey, I mean, let's throttle that back, Elliot.
Elliot. My man.
That quick you're jumping over?
Elliot. Come on, big man.
All right. Settle down, Sully. Keep texting him
wonder.
In. 560-22, Kendall Toyota. West Kendall Toyota text line. So Mike Cugno from CBS4 is going to join us this afternoon, and we're going to break it down like the Zapruder film. They went all in on this. They had interns assigned to this. They had associate producers. They really went all in on CBS4, so we want to get to the bottom of it. And then in about 10 or 15 minutes, Darren Revelle is going to join us from the Action Network. Used to be with ESPN for a long time. He was their business reporter. He carved out an amazing niche as a business reporter on ESPN. And I think, and we can ask him, that he saw the writing on the wall that sports was, as evidenced by this show, sports is leading into gambling. The meshing of legal sports gambling and professional sports is here, and it's going to become more entrenched in American society.
And I tell you, with Darren Revelle, he is a hell of a follow on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
I don't even bring up that because I'm not a big social media fan. He tweets some stuff that's extremely interesting.
Now, he also gets just crushed sometimes on Twitter responses. In fact, there's a Twitter account called, is it Darren Revelle Replies? I think that's what it's called. And it's just devoted to these brutal replies to some of his tweets, which are a little bit lacking self-awareness, which you may have something in common with him. But
that's why I love him.
He's got over 2 million Twitter followers. Yeah. He's really carved out this niche. But the reason that we were bringing him on, I was intrigued yesterday. We saw that story about the Alliance of American Football, and that it seemed like they were running out of money after two games.
Week two.
Really one game, because I guess the lifeline came before this weekend's games were played. And so I did want to talk to him because you and I have talked about the Alliance of American Football, and he's the one that had tweeted out breaking, you know, whoever was from the Carolina Hurricanes that had given them a $250 million cash infusion in order so they could hit payroll. And now he essentially owns and runs the league. So I wanted to talk to Revelle about the AAF and startup leagues and all that nonsense that goes along with it, including the gambling and whatnot. We tipped onto something on this show yesterday. Forget who. Oh, we were talking to Sedano. And I was saying George Sedano's out now in Los Angeles. I was saying that I'm thinking about taking a flyer on the Lakers winning the West at plus 2,000. So if you don't gamble, plus 2,000 means you win 2,000 for every $100 you bet. So that's a huge long shot. Yeah. This is not the Lakers to make the playoffs. I saw the Lakers to make the playoffs, I think, are plus 110. So you would bet $100 to win 110. It's essentially even money if you think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I do. And it opened up some decent debate in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour yesterday of people. There were plenty of people saying, I'm with you. I mean, there's a compelling case to be made that if LeBron James, I don't care what team he's on, makes it into the playoffs, something can happen. I think it happened last season with Cleveland in the first two rounds.
In the West?
In the West is a lot more difficult.
If it was in the East, I'm with you almost.
And it's not even like he snuck in last year with the Cavs. Like, if he sneaks in the eight as the eight seed in the West, like you said, they play the one seed.
That's play big,
you
know, man.
But at plus 2,000, I feel like there's something there. Like, that's one of those flyers where you go, you know what? Even if you put $200 on it, so you have $4,000 potential payday if they win the West. They don't have to win the championship, but they have to be the team that comes out of the West. I feel like that might be something.
If they win the West, they win the championship.
There's some good teams in the East this year. I don't even know who my favorite is in the East, to be quite honest.
I'm just saying, if LeBron can will them past Golden State, he can will them past anybody.
I mean, there's probably a flyer to be had on Lakers winning the NBA championship, to be quite honest.
Problem.
Jim Larrañaga, he's the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes men's basketball team. He's going to join us today. You know he's a huge movie fan, and Sunday is the Oscars. So as we do every year, we will get his Oscar predictions, and we'll write them down. We'll keep track, and we'll see how Jim Larrañaga does. So we'll take a quick break. Darren Revelle, he's scheduled to join us in the next segment, Valero?
Yes.
All right, so Darren Revelle from the Action Network. Hopefully he's going to be with us when we come back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I'm excited to talk to this guy.
Yes.
As you were saying, he's one of those must-follows on Twitter.
One of my favorites.
Darren Revelle's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's with the Action Network now. In fact, we have a lot of Action Network guests on with us. We have Jeff Schwartz on. We have Chad Millman on with us all the time, talking about gambling. Revelle, though, a must-follow on Twitter. Over 2 million followers. He left ESPN for the Action Network, I assume, and we can ask him, because as a business specialist, he probably looks to the future. He looks at future earnings, if you will. If you were gonna, read it like CNBC, future earnings, and he probably saw the future of sports is headed towards this merging of legalized gambling. I should say legalized. And we certainly do our fair share of gambling talk on the show, and Darren Revelle is there. Hello, Darren.
What's up? How are you guys?
Is that why you hooked up with the Action Network? Did you kind of look at the landscape and say, yeah, this is like I'm getting in before it's really entrenched, and when it is entrenched, it'll be huge?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I had about 40 weeks left on my ESPN contract, and I was just looking around and saw, having lived in New Jersey, you know, it's like Europe in New Jersey. You know, they've $1.3 billion was bet in the first 6 months. And, you know, the trains. I'm thinking about the guy on the train, the guy who sells marketing, you know, who does marketing for New Jersey Transit. Like, for 5 years, he's cold calling people like, no, no, you don't want anything, you know. And all of a sudden, the New Jersey Transit trains, this is what it looks like. On the outside is FanDuel, on the inside is DraftKings, on the floor is William Hill, on the top of the train is Caesars. I mean, it's outrageous. And people are taking their lunch breaks in New York, because it's not legal in New York, going to the first stop in New Jersey, which might be like Secaucus or something, which is now like a tourist destination. They're standing on the platform. They open up their little app. They bet, and then they go back to their office in New York. So, having seen all this, you know, there's very little time in business where you can see a business at full maturity when the rest of the country, besides Nevada, is not at that. And so, for me, I was going from 20 to 40 to 60 gambling stories a year. And I asked myself, could I do this full time? And the answer was yes.
Oh, it is so sexy to hear you talk about gambling and the legalization of gambling, because I love it so much. And yeah, Florida's a ways away, because we're a little backwards here.
Quickly on that, I mean, obviously, just so that people know, because I always get questions from people, especially, you know, I've gotten a bunch of Florida, even one today. You know, it does fall along the tribal lines, and we know how much the guys at Hard Rock and other tribes spent against the recent, you know, amendment, you know, whether it was going to flip or not. And, you know, for Florida and North Carolina and for Arizona and California, where there are a lot of tribes, they have their deal with gaming, and, you know, they're not confident that the same deal will exist with sports gambling. And at worst, it could cannibalize them. So that's really why it gets a little bit more complicated in states that have, you know, more tribes.
And Darren, if it doesn't have to do with the tribes, what are the other, you know, oppositions to gambling around the nation? What is their argument?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Bible Belt really hasn't stood up against it. Yesterday in Iowa, which doesn't even allow you to do legal fantasy gaming, they passed something through one of their legislative branches yesterday about talking about mobile betting. There's not a lot of opposition, and I think some of that has to do with the parallel course that marijuana is running along with at the same time, you know, sports betting, and maybe seeing the revenue that's coming in. So there really isn't a lot right now. 8 states plus the District of Columbia, which haven't done anything, but they've passed it. So that's legal in 8 states. And then I think this year, by the end of this year, we'll probably have 15 to 17, and then it will kind of rise. And I expect the majority of the country by 2021 will have legalized gambling.
Darren Revell is with us. He's with the Action Network now. You can go to actionnetwork.com. So the reason that we really had looked to get you on yesterday or today is because I enjoy gambling so much, and Crowder as well. We've been betting on the Alliance of American Football. I was looking forward to football, you know, continuing year round. And then I see your tweet yesterday that the AAF needed this financial lifeline to even hit payroll after 1 week of games. What is the financial situation of the Alliance of American Football, the best you can tell?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to tell you something different. I think that they say that there was a payroll issue with their processing. That's at least what they told the players and the agents. I know that they were looking for money for a while, and it's not really a coincidence that the payroll thing happened, and then they essentially sold the league, or certainly the majority of it, to Tom Dundon, the Carolina Hurricanes owner. It just seems a little weird, right? I mean, they came off week one, and I thought it was, and I'm sure you guys did too, universally, I think people applauded it and were surprised it was good. And I think Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersole did an incredible job. And the one thing I think they got right was they got good players and they didn't seemingly care about names first. Yeah, they got Trent Richardson and Aaron Murray and a couple guys, but they didn't try that hard to get marketable names and guys like Luis Perez and people who, as a major college football fan, I've never even heard of, who looked like they were serviceable. It was the best non-NFL football since the USFL. And so I think people were a little bit weirded out by, wait a second, like this is week one and players aren't getting paid and now there's a new owner of the league. So I think I think they shouldn't have financial trouble now, but certainly the dynamics have changed. I don't think it's necessarily great for the league that, you know, people are now making fun of them.
And did they do it right from the beginning? Because we talked about on this show, Darren, that the marketing, like seeing the eyes and the ears that they put on this league early on, I wasn't impressed by it.
Yeah, you know, I think they did as good of a job as possible. You know, it is so hard to start a league. And, you know, you just look at if Vince McMahon can't come out of the box and do it, and obviously that was 17 years, 18 years ago, that was a different time. I think you got to realize how hard it is to start this thing up. I think they did a good job. I think from the logos, they did a good job. The players, they did a good job. The app, you know, for Apple, people with Apple phones did not work week one, which I think is like a massive loss because people might not give it a second chance. And so, you know, to say you're going to be a forward technology league and then the app doesn't work for Apple, it worked for Android. I think that was certainly a big hit for them.
It's shocking, though, that a league with that much name, you know, behind it, with the Ebersol name and the Polian name behind it, and to have major television contracts like they do, it's shocking that they wouldn't have enough cash in the coffers to be able to cover, you know, a year's worth of expenses if they didn't take in $1 in revenue from ticket sales or $1 in revenue from sponsorships, because you're making yourself a laughingstock if you're gambling on we're going to take in enough money. You need to be prepared for something like that. I was blown away by your tweet.
I think they miscalculated how much they needed, and then when they went around for another round, you know, people weren't ready. And, you know, I mean, this is what startup businesses do all the time, right? I mean, they when they raise money, they figure out, okay, what are we going to raise? And, you know, they probably raised around $60 million and it wasn't enough. And you know, that just companies and products and brands do that all the time. And sometimes these startups guess wrong, and it could mean death because you didn't raise enough.
Darren, so I'm sorry.
I think that's what they did.
Darren Revelle is with us. If they didn't get that $250 million cash infusion, do you think they would have folded?
I don't think a lot of people were saying yes to more money. I don't think their current investors were. So I don't know if they would have folded. I don't think they got $250 million, by the way. I mean, I think that he's committed to that.
I got you.
That's if they last 10 years. But the league itself is not worth $250 million.
And, Darren, we talked about the AAF. I don't believe another league can make it long-term, you know, 5, 6, 10 years down the road. So people were telling me, oh, this is different because the NFL supports it. The NFL's behind it. If the NFL is so much behind it, why do they have to go to an NHL owner to get the money to keep the league going?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL the only NFL connection is they're obviously not going to be stupid, and they're going to allow players to go up to the NFL. The XFL, which starts next year, the new XFL, is not going to allow people to leave. They're going to be their own league. So the only NFL connection is the allowance, and they have some games on the NFL network. But there aren't any NFL owners involved in it, and there aren't any NFL, there's no NFL money from the league office involved in it. So I think it's kind of been overstated how much the NFL like would really care about this league. If it folded, I'm sure they'd be okay with it. And that's why I don't think there's that much cooperation.
What's your best guess? Do you think they make it through the first season? You think they have a second season?
I'm not ready to call a second season. I think they're going to make it through the first season now.
Yeah, it's a quick quick change of opinion. It's crazy on this league, which was being celebrated after that first week. Similar to the XFL, though, you know, so many years ago. Darren Revelle is with us. And again, you can follow him on Twitter. I think you probably do if you listen to the show, because everyone follows Darren Revelle on Twitter. I have a little T-shirt site called honkedofflikeagoose.com. And I've got gems like Bill Belichick is a jerk and Nick Saban is a jerk. How do I get someone like you to tweet a link to your 2 million followers so that I can pay for my kids' college?
You text me and show me the shirt. And I don't do any pay thing or any ads with Twitter, nothing. Like you couldn't pay me to post it, because I think obviously for Twitter, you know, authenticity is the key. I have to really like it. So if I really like it, I'll post it. We'll not post the link to buy it. People are going to have to find it. But at least the first step is people will see it.
Interesting. So it sounds like we have a little possibility here.
Possibility, but is everything blank is a jerk?
No. Those are the two recent additions. I'm trying to think of what else is up there. Falero, quickly go look at honkedofflikeagoose.com and see what's available. I think I might have Ravel on the line.
Isn't this your website?
Yeah, it is my website. I should know more about it. Urban Meyer is the jerk. We have that. Does that do anything for you?
Okay. Yeah. All of them along this.
Someone came to me and said, would you license Ravel as a nerd shirts? And I said I would, you know, but the deal wasn't good enough. So
you get brutalized. I mentioned this before you came on. You get brutalized on Twitter. And I've seen your response before, which is, if you're going to be in this game, you got to have thick skin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can take it all. I can take it all. I'm not going to bow out. And, you know, I was one of the first journalists on Twitter. And having done Instagram for the past 2 or 3 years, it's amazing to see the positivity versus the negativity of Twitter. It's like everyone's your friend on Instagram and everyone wants to beat the crap out of you on Twitter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been shifting away from Twitter onto Instagram because it's personal. Like, if you post something and someone wants to respond to you, only you are seeing it. And on Twitter, they're saying something so that everyone can see it. And that's why it gets so nasty sometimes. So you never get, like, trepidation before you send out a tweet and you go, oh, man, I'm just going to get killed.
Yeah, you know, no, sometimes I'll say, you know, to do with being in the moment I'm going to be in. So, like, I was on vacation the last 5 days, which is, that's in quotes. You know, I have something to say. I feel like it's going to get, you know, nailed by people. And normally I'm not like this, but I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to deal with it today. You know, and then I don't want to deal with the crap. You know, my wife's going to accuse me of staring at my phone too long. I just don't want it. Most of the time, I like to put out something. Not that I try, but I like to put out something that gets me a little riled up.
Yeah, it's part of the fun, I think. That's part of the sport of Twitter. It's a gladiator sport.
I'm an adrenaline junkie.
How much are Duke UNC tickets going for tonight on the resale market?
You can go home at $2,500. You can't even get a rafter.
Wow.
Right now.
That's insane.
I got a great story as told to me from the eyes broker. It's pretty good. It's one of the three busiest days today at the Raleigh-Durham private charter area of the airport. It's insane. And I got a couple great tweets lined up. I have a picture of Roy Williams before he coached his very first game as a coach. At a high school in North Carolina.
Is he wearing the sport jacket?
Yes, I think he's wearing like a polo type thing, but he was also the golf coach of
All right, very nice. Darren Ravel on Twitter, @DarrenRavel. You can follow him at the Action Network as well. You can follow the Action Network on Twitter @ActionNetworkHQ. We appreciate you making time for us, and keep tweeting out what you tweet, because I love it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Darren Ravel there. I'm telling you. Oh, and we got to, hey, don't let him go without sending him my link. Hey, don't hang up, Falero.
Said he's not sending no link.
Millions of dollars are on the line.
He hung up on me.
What are you doing?
He hung up on me. I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye.
I was that close to honkedofflikeagoose.com.
That wasn't the place to do that,
goodness,
man.
Great. No, that's where you do business. This is my golf course. That's how you do business.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Somebody texted in because I'm not kidding you. If Darren Revell tweeted out one of my T-shirts, 2 million Twitter followers, like you can't buy that kind of stuff. I mean, you can, but it's a lot of money. But yeah. If he tweets out and so someone texts in, Hawk, how could you not have all the info ready to go? Are you serious? Yeah, I totally screwed that up.
You did.
I totally screwed that up. I could have paid for my kids' college if I got Darren Revell to agree to tweet one of my T-shirts.
Information wasn't there.
Then Bill Belichick is a jerk. That's a funny shirt. Nick Saban is a jerk. That's a funny shirt. By the way, I got a package today sent here at the radio station. I've been a Nick Saban hater for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe this package comes from Dr. Chuck Metzger, and I'll tell you why at the end, when I give you the rest of the story. You know I am a Nick Saban hater. Can you go get that package, Valero? It's in the other room. I think it's in the office back there. Valero texted me a picture on our text thread this morning. There was an envelope addressed to me here at the radio station, a priority mail envelope. And the return address was Nick Saban and whatever the address is for Tuscaloosa. Just Nick Saban, Tuscaloosa.
Football.
It gets
football
there. It'll
building,
get there. Yeah. Football, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. What is it? Was it the actual? I wonder if it was the actual. Yeah, University of Alabama, 323 Paul Bryant Drive, which I'm guessing is what it actually is, Tuscaloosa. And it was addressed to Mark Hawk. And it kind of threw me off. You know, I'm like, ooh, is this that white powdery thing where you'll open it up and
anthrax.
You're like, yeah, so.
They still do anthrax?
I don't know. Is
this knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
Make sure it's not, yeah.
So I get up here and I'm like, man, should I open this? Should I not? We listen to it, see if it was ticking. You know, I knew it wasn't from Nick Saban, even though it says from Nick Saban.
Why?
I just felt like...
Small chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like he would handwrite this label.
And send you dots.
Yeah. So I open it up. There's dots in there. The candy. Dots. Now, here's why I think it's Dr. Chuck Metzger. I have railed not only against Nick Saban on this show, but against dots.
You have some strong takes.
Yeah, dots to me, I don't understand how they're still being sold. I don't understand who would buy dots at a movie theater or at the checkout at CVS. Dots are tasteless. And so there were two boxes wrapped. I don't think that they were poisoned. Two wrapped boxes of dots and a letter. The letter is on stationery that says, Go Ducks. Which struck me as odd.
I'm trying to throw you off.
And it's got a date of 1/1/12 on it. So, again, having a tough time figuring out. Were the Ducks in the Rose Bowl in 2012? Because that there's a rose on this, too.
Rose on there, yeah.
See if Oregon was in the Rose Bowl in 2012.
Man, this is some investigative reporting here.
And the letter says, Dear Hawk, Mary... Yeah,
They were against Wisconsin.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Now, what's the connection to Dr. Chuck Metzger and the Rose Bowl in 2012?
Might really be Saban trying to throw you off.
So it says, Dear Hawk, Merry Christmas. Sincerely, Coach Nick Saban. Now, it's written, this is a fifth grader's handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Sincerely, Coach Nick Saban, P.S., tell Channing I miss him at practice. Of course, he coached you with the Dolphins, so it all adds up.
And that's a lie, because he doesn't miss me. He never missed me.
I don't think he would write sincerely. That seems like a strange end to a letter from Nick Saban. It would be more like yours in something, or fondly, or...
Line
in the S. Nick.
Yeah. Something like that.
So, Dr. Chuck Metzger is the only person... that I know who likes the candy dots. He's their biggest defender. And he's the only person I know that has enough free time and enough idiocy to send this. The return address, it's postmarked from Hanover, Maryland. Now, I do know Dr. Chuck was up in the Northeast.
In D.C. with his daughter.
I believe. So don't know. Give those dots to firemen. It's always a...
Who?
Give them to firemen.
Like the real firemen?
Yeah, yeah.
Like my brother?
Yeah, give them to your brother. Take
Why?
Them home.
Why?
Because firemen, they're first responders. Always, if you have leftover anything, you should always give it to the firehouse.
That's not a rule.
I've never
heard
that.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Really?
Always give anything to the firehouse.
No.
Sure, leftover food.
No. Salvation Army.
Yeah, no. Not clothes. I'm talking about like food items. I'm not going to eat these dots. You give them to the firehouse. You give them to your brother.
I don't think that's a rule.
Yeah, like why wouldn't you give it to like Camilla's house or like a shelter?
Yeah,
because I just told you, they're first responders. They don't get paid enough. They don't get thanked enough. And so whenever you have extra food, let's say you have a pizza party for the kids and there's four leftover pizzas, there's always someone at the firehouse. There's always a firehouse locally and they always deserve to be thanked. So whatever you have extra in the way of food items, always bring to the firehouse. You never heard that before.
Bring leftovers to the firehouse?
Yeah, I'm talking about...
This is 1920.
Okay.
You're not now. 2019, people bring leftover food to the firehouse. Why would a fireman want to eat somebody's old leftover lasagna cracked and dirty on the plate?
I'm going to call my brother.
Okay, but I didn't say to bring cracked and dirty lasagna on a plate, old tugboat. I said if you have... I said, if you have some pizzas, say you order 15 pizzas, text it in, 56022, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You have 15 pizzas you order for a party. There's five pizzas left. You can't put five pizzas in your fridge. No one's going to go through five pizzas if you have a house. So you take those pizzas. What do you do with them? You take them to the local firehouse.
No, you throw them in the lake behind the house to attract brim. That happens. This isn't hypothetical. This happens to me. Leftover pizza goes in the lake.
Five leftover pizza. Well, and we know you go in the lake as well. I mean, that's there's a whole bunch at play there. But no, there's old tugboat.
That's not.
Hey, is that Channing? Is that Channing coming across the lake?
That is not a thing.
Yeah.
Firemen getting old pizza is not a thing.
Yeah, I think you made it up. You just made it up.
No,
I know stuff like that.
My brother's
like
a
that.
Fireman.
So. Put your brother on the phone.
Okay.
Put him on the phone. Yeah, you absolutely do that.
No, you don't.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
If you have a bunch of leftover food.
You drop it off to the firemen?
Well, where would you bring it? Let's say you have five pizzas.
I'm not bringing it anywhere. I'm putting it in the lake. I'm serious.
Five pizzas. You would feed fish rather than first responders.
I don't think you call them first responders. I understand what their job is. I just don't think they want old leftovers. They just don't want, you know, half-beaten pizza.
Not
I don't think they want
half-beaten pizza.
Half-beaten pizza.
No, don't beat up the pizza and bring it to them. I'm talking about if you have a mass quantity of leftover food, you absolutely bring it to a firehouse. Because the firehouse is always open and there's always one locally. What does your brother say?
He didn't pick up. He might be on a call. Who knows?
All right.
But when he
or
gets
he might
back,
be eating pizza. Yeah,
hopefully
like,
he gets
knows?
Back
yeah.
and has some old leftovers. Some
okay,
crusty,
but again,
stinking lasagna.
Again, that's from your house, crusty, stinking lasagna. That's your lasagna, old tugboat. I'm talking about some leftover pizzas. You cater a party and you have ribs and chicken. Now the barbecue's over and you've got trays and trays of food. You just litter it right in the water.
Actually,
you just throw it like you probably
you
throw the trays into. Do you throw the pizza boxes in the water too?
You take those big gallon bags, the freezer bags, and you load those up as much as you can for the bottom of your fridge. And when that's all gone, all the space is gone, you throw the rest in the lake.
Rather than give it to humans, first responders.
Yeah, I don't think they need it. They're
fine. Oh, you don't.
No.
You don't think they need it?
I don't think they need. They're not volunteers
Tell
now,
you
are
what,
they?
This old tugboat
they get,
here.
Your brother gets paid.
Yes, they get paid. Yeah.
They get paid, right?
And they have a kitchen in there. Like every day, like there's a designated. Cook.
That's right. I know.
A catered firehouse needs old stinking ass lasagna.
Not a catered
to be dropped off.
You don't know what firemen do, do you?
They have a chef.
You?
I don't have a chef.
They don't have a chef.
Valero. No, they have.
They assign it each day. They go, okay, Justin, you're going to be cooking the dinner tonight.
And what does Justin do? Stand outside and wait for leftovers?
No, but it's funny. I imagine sometimes at your house, even though you have a kitchen, sometimes you get pizza. Sometimes you don't. You get pizza,
and
I bet.
And I bet you have a kitchen. And I order it because I know I
gotcha.
Want it. I'm not
going
to sit and wait
I
for
see.
Somebody's
I
old
no,
ass
no, but
pizza.
I think your point was if you have a kitchen, you don't have pizza. And I think that's a ridiculous take.
Oh, he's running now.
Old tugboat. Tugboat.
Firemen do not wait for leftovers.
So you throw all your leftover food in a lake.
in a Laker, throw it away or freeze it. There's not many people that say, oh, my leftovers, these are fireman's leftovers. Let me put these to the side.
From a party. But I'm not talking, I'm not talking about dinner for three. Away with it. Yes. I'm not talking about dinner for three. I'm talking about five pizzas left over from a party.
Let me take it to the firehouse.
Yes, you would throw it in a lake.
Never pops up in people's mind.
Never. But that's, I mean, that's
When's the last time you take a pizza to a firehouse?
But I haven't had a pizza party in a while.
When's the last time you took anything to the firehouse?
About a year ago.
Lie.
I'm not lying to you.
Lie.
About a year ago.
What was it? Stinking ass lasagna?
You want to know? We had, when you sit shiva for a loved one that died, you get a whole bunch of food brought to your house. More food than anyone could eat. And when everyone's done sitting shiva, you take all the leftovers to the firehouse.
Is that a shiva rule?
It's just a thing you do. Is that your brother on the phone?
He's on hold, yeah.
All right,
it's a shiva rule.
It's not a rule. It's just a nice thing to do.
But it's attached to shiva.
No, it's attached to having a lot of leftover food.
Do you do it at a third grade birthday party?
I don't know. Haven't had one in a while.
Oh, ninth grade birthday party?
I haven't had who has a birthday party in ninth grade? Justin Falero is a fireman. He's a fireman. Do people bring, and I'm not talking about their leftover soup that they made in the microwave, but if someone has a big party or whatnot and they've got leftovers, do they bring it to the firehouse?
If it's us, yeah, we usually bring leftovers from parties.
Firemen. So you do that?
Yes, I do it, and so do a few other guys at the station, too.
But what about random Miss Esmeralda behind the firehouse that had a party? She brings big trays of old stinking-ass lasagna?
I wouldn't say big trays, but she'll bring the desserts.
Right, so people will bring some nice food items to a firehouse because it's a good,
nice food?
It's a nice way of thanking first responders, yes?
Correct. We're just a little hesitant on eating it sometimes.
No, understand that.
Why would that be?
No, I totally understand that.
Well, we don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. That makes sense.
So then you throw it in the lake then. I might as well skip a step and just throw it straight in the lake.
Okay. So who do you think has a nicer idea for a leftover, let's say, seven leftover pizzas from a big pizza party? Who's got the better idea? Crowder, take all the pizzas in the boxes and throw them in a lake, or Hockman, take them to your local firehouse and reward the first responders?
Take it to the firehouse.
My man. Do you got to tell them hold
Justin,
hold
thank you
spit?
Very much. Thank you, Justin.
Do you tell them hold
We appreciate it, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Justin Falero, that is a good man right there. Some of us appreciate the first responders, old tugboat.
Give me that pizza. Hold the spit.
Got to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.